Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the third canto, chapter 5, text number 1.
Shri Shuka Vacha,
Shri Shuka Vacha,
Arijuna Jari Sabhaguna,
Arijuna Jari Sabhaguna,
Maitreya Masina Maradabodham,
Maitreya Masina Maradabodham,
Sato-pasritya-chuta-bhava-seta Avraccha-sushilya-guna-vitriptaha
Avraccha-sushilya-guna-vitriptaha
Shri-sukho-vacha
Shri-sukho-vacha
Shukadeva-swami-se
Dvari
At the source of
Junaja,
the celestial river
Ganges,
Isabha, the best of the Kurus,
the best of the Kurus,
Gurunam,
Gurunam,
of the Kurus,
of the Kurus,
Maitreyam,
Maitreyam,
unto Maitreya,
unto Maitreya,
Asinam,
Asinam,
sitting,
Agadabodham,
Agadabodham, unfettered knowledge.
Unfettered knowledge.
Satya,
Satya,
Vidura, Upasritya,
Upasritya,
Heaven approach,
near.
Achyuta,
Achyuta,
the
infallible Lord.
Bhava,
Bhava,
character.
Siddha,
Siddha,
prophet.
Bhavracha,
Bhavracha,
inquired. Sushilya,
Sushilya,
gentleness. Gunavitrita,
Gunavitrita,
satisfied in transcendental
qualities.
Sukadeva Goswami says, Vidura, blessed among the Guru dynasty, who is perfect in devotional service to the Lord, does reach the source of the celestial Ganges where Maitreya, the great fattenness during the sage of the world, was seated. Vidura was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence and purport. Vidura was already perfect due to his own body devotion to the infallible Lord. The body of living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature. But the Lord is quantitatively much greater than the body of the living entity. He's ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the use of energy. Vidura had already surpassed the nature of the living entity in conditional life due to his being a chutabhava or legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called chutabhava siddha or perfection by dint of devotional service. Anyone who is absorbed in devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all the minor qualities. The learned sage Maitreya is sitting in a solitary place. And Vidura was a perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all the transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry. Vidura was a devotee, not only an ordinary devotee, if there is such a thing, but a devotee who has great dedication in his devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Vidura is known as a pure devotee of the Lord. Undoubtedly, Vidura was only interested in Krishna. He had no material desire. He was not interested in pursuing such temporary things of trying to enjoy the material world, knowing well that such things cannot bring any lasting happiness. Chakras, flickering happiness, is above all one can attain in the material world. Therefore, Vidura was firm. He was firm in his determination and no desire to pursue this world. So when Vidura had been insulted
insulted by two of you in the palace, then Victoria had taken the opportunity to leave. He was happy. He placed his bow in the doorway and he left the palace. He was happy to go. It was a great opportunity. So even although it appeared to be an adverse condition, it appeared to be a situation unfavorable, he was basically comfortable in the palace. He was respected. He was the son of a Darcy. In those days, kings could also, besides having queens, have some relationship with some of the other courtesans and ladies. They were not royal. So any son born from that would not have a right to the throne, but would have a right to just be accepted in the royal court. So these things were just socially normal and okay. No need for secret affairs. Alright. It was understood the kings need more than one. They can contain themselves. Okay. That's the nature of kings. Nowadays it's a scandal. A king, a powerful leader, has some affair and then they can make a big scandal. Previously, that was just absorbed in society. So he was a dusty character, the son of a maidservant in that sense. So from that, Duryodhana put him down and defended him. So then, Duryodhana just decided to leave and take a favorable situation as an opportunity to get free from all the entanglement of living in a royal court and, you know, where he performed his devotional service. But still, it was obviously no source of distraction and so many social obligations. And now he had left, he was free, he was just free to dedicate all his energy and all his time to the Supreme Lord. This is the glory of the renounced world. That it becomes very focused. It's not like so much we have to invest in living in our livelihood. We have to work and dress up and make some money. It's a monkey suit. And then after that we come back. And then we can fully dedicate ourselves to devotional service. Not this double life. No, we now score it is just glorifying Krishna. Go through the world glorifying Krishna, and somehow or other that will attract some devotees, and these devotees, they feed us, and they somehow or other look after us. In that way, it's come to an end. And otherwise, it's the Supreme Lord who looks after him anyway. He's the ultimate caretaker. So who will take care of me? Vidura was not young, but Vidura didn't care. He was thinking, oh my God, who will take care of me in my old age now? Do I have a proper insurance? Not really. Insurances, but to be sure and covered. But our real insurance is simply the goodwill of the Vaishnavas. That is the real insurance of the means who reaches the Vaishnavas. So, in this way, Vidura had taken the renounced order of life. But renunciation wasn't his only interest. Not at all. Therefore, he went to Maitreya to hear about Krishna, because what's the point in giving up the world? I gave up the world. Congratulations. Everything, the whole world, you gave it up. Yes, the whole world. Fantastic. And now what? How much are you doing? Just, are you doing anything positive, or are you only giving up things? So renunciation itself is not spiritual. You can have the biggest father in the world, but in itself, that is not spiritual. It is material. It becomes spiritual when we get Krishna.
When Krishna becomes the center, when we worship Krishna, when we are remembering Krishna, when we simply spend all our energy in glorifying Krishna, either by pranirata knowledge, by our energy, by our wealth, by our dhyā, by our intelligence, and by vācha, by our words. So we can glorify Krishna by speaking about him. We can glorify Krishna by making big arrangements on his behalf, like a big festival which costs a fortune, or a big temple which costs a fortune. Or we can use him, we can glorify him by our intelligence, understanding the glories of Krishna, and then explaining the whole. Or just use our energy. We don't have much, but we have energy. We can use it. We can run around to Krishna. In this way, Ram Bhakti Dhyavaj to be used in the service of Krishna. In that way, Vyahasya Vikara Dhyavi Kyavunandana. When one becomes more renounced from trying to enjoying the material world, then we can focus on Krishna. One-pointed attention in Yahya. Otherwise, if you think Bhavasaki and this job, then our energy is everywhere. I like Krishna, but I also like life. And I also like all the varieties and things that the world has to offer. So Krishna is here, but there is also something. We get situations like Bhakti Romeo and Bhakti Juliet. Krishna in the background, and spiritual life becomes so long. But we are human, so it is alright. It is okay. There are different ashrams, different situations, and dishonesty. But Vidura, he had enough. Had enough of all this wealthy entanglement. And now we can hear all to hear from my trainer. Because Vidura was eager to hear the absolute truth. We see that Vidura had also approached Uddhava. And that Uddhava was in a way his preferred person to approach. Because Uddhava was not only learned, Uddhava is known to be a disciple of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. So Uddhava has a reputation for great learning. Uddhava is extremely learned. Therefore, Krishna chose Uddhava as a messenger to go to Vrindavan because he thought Uddhava knows the scriptures. So Uddhava is a great devotee. So in this way, Uddhava is a great messenger. You can explain it all very nicely. But that was not the reason why Vidura, not the main reason why Vidura wanted to approach Uddhava. Vidura wanted to approach Uddhava because Uddhava went to Vrindavan. And Uddhava saw the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. And that was something else. In Dwarka, it is said sometimes there was an arrangement in the royal assembly house. And there, all the various dignitaries will be seated on thrones. There was a throne. Krishna would be seated on the throne. And Vasudeva, his father, would be seated to the right. Then, next to that, Ugrasena would be seated on the throne. And his throne would be a little forward, because Ugrasena was the ruling king. Then on the left there was Satyaki, the military commander. And like this, there was a whole formation, and everyone was seated on elevated seats, and everyone was respected by that. Uddhava, he was sort of moving around in that assembly, and Uddhava, because he was very learned, he would speak very complicated with Krishna. And using complicated language and subtle hints and so on, nobody could understand what Uddhava was talking about. except for Krishna. So that's the infinite secret exchange that is, and that was going on. And then after the assembly was over and everyone had been there, then Krishna would say, okay, now it is time to sort of end this session, and I will go down to my quarters, and Krishna would go to his personal quarters, and all the everyone would follow him. And then Krishna would be there in his quarters, and then all be followed, and he would spend some more time with them, and then, like, finally, the message goes, okay, now Krishna needs to rest, now it's time for everyone to go. And then everyone would go, except Uddhava. Because when it was said, everyone should go, then Uddhava never thought that applied to him. Because he had a close relationship with Krishna. He was very intimate with Krishna. So, and everyone had to go. Yes, of course, everyone had to go. Uddhava would stay. And then Uddhava would still stay with Krishna. So that was Uddhava. Such a close devotee to Krishna. The best devotee in the world. And then Krishna stood on the roof of his palace, and Krishna was just looking in the direction of Vrindavan. Of course, far away, but still his mind was traveling the entire journey, and he was thinking, who can I send as a messenger? And he was thinking and thinking and thinking, this one, no, not suitable. This one, no, not suitable. And he was thinking of everyone. And then, finally, he saw Uddhava, and then he thought, that's it, it's Uddhava, why didn't I think of this before? Uddhava, he is excellent in scripture, disciple of Brihaspati, he is a great devotee, and he looks just like me. He looks very much like me, and same sort of dress and this and that, so, you know, he's close. The best, absolutely the best messenger. And Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and Jiva Goswami is describing how Uddhava traveled to Vrindavan. And it is said, was it the chariot or was it his desire that took him to Vrindavan? Jiva Goswami is asking that question. And obviously it is. He has such a desire to see Krishna. He was so eager. But when he came to Vrindavan, and he saw the eagerness of the residents of Vrindavan, then it was a different story. He saw London and Yasoda, and he saw how Yasoda was saying, how could you let him go? How could you let Akrura take him? How could you do this? And then another one would say, you man, woman, what are you talking? Krishna has just gone to the forest. He'll be back tonight. Who was mad? They were like, you know, Akrura had taken Krishna away. Too much of Ananda was accusing the soul of being a man woman, but actually Ananda was a man himself because he thought Krishna had just gone to the forest. Because he could not accept it. Krishna is our limitless. So seeing this intensity of love, Uddhava realized, I had no love at all. Meeting the gopis, meeting them, this love of Uddhava. And Uddhava became transformed in Vrindavan. And he was just remembering these amazing devotees. And when Vidura had gone to Uddhava, Uddhava just became overwhelmed and Uddhava could not speak. When he's asked to speak, but he couldn't speak, he's just like stunned. So that was Uddhava. But Vidura, when Vidura approached Uddhava, because Vidura was older, and Vidura was older than Uddhava, Uddhava didn't really want to instruct him. So Uddhava sent him to Maitreya, who was nearby, who was also a great devotee. Not, but he didn't have that special encounter. He didn't. He knew everything about the Vedic Siddhanta, the Vedic conclusions, but he did not have that intimate experience that residence with the pure devotional service of the residents of Vrindavan. So that way, Maitreya was not able to fully satisfy the heart of Vidura. Because Vidura was actually eager for that special, to know more about that special devotion that the residents of Vrindavan were having for Krishna, that unconditional surrender, where Krishna placed his foot at Bansi Bhat and the gopis dropped everything they were doing. They didn't think, well, let me put my life in order. I'm now going to join Krishna's movement. That was calling us playing flute. So let me put my life in order and make sure everything's nice and taken care of, and then I can move home and meet Krishna. No. The gopis didn't consider that at all. Krishna, it is the call of Krishna. Let me go, let me just, it doesn't matter. My dear girls, Krishna said, after the gopis had left and were come to meet him in the forest, he said, my dear girls, how is it that you are so late at night alone in the forest? What will people say? I mean, what will they say? Yeah, you'll become the talk of town. Yeah, you go home now. If you go home now, you can still sort of say, you got lost and get away with it. But if you stay any longer, you are married, what will your husband say? You think you can tolerate this? Oh, you better go home. The gopis, they had given up everything, they had come, they were called by Krishna's flute, they had given up. It is said in the Priti Sandarbha, it is said that when Lord Brahma and the demigods heard the flute playing of Krishna, it blew their mind. They were shocked because the demigods, they know the Vedas, and they also know the Nata Shastra. So they know about music. And they know how you make proper arrangements in music. You know, according to Vedic literature as a whole. Things, science, music. And they know everything about this. But Krishna was breaking all the rules. Krishna was playing his flute in a way that was not following these injunctions at all. Krishna was just playing in totally novel ways. And Lord Brahma was just... It blew his mind. I mean, how is it possible that anyone can make music like this? So in this way, the demigods were just in a state of shock. But when the gopis heard Krishna playing the flute, they didn't analyze it. You know, I mean, what kind of musical style is this? What kind of hobby is he playing? Is it the right time of the day? Is it the right hour? They never thought of anything about these things. They just heard the love of Krishna. And that love of Krishna was just coming through that flute playing. That was just, how would they not respond to it? All the gopis heard how Krishna called them. They heard his voice directly through that flute calling them.
And Srimati Radharani,
when she heard the flute playing, what she heard was, only you are the only one. That's what she heard. So everyone heard different. And Lord Shiva heard the flute, and he was dancing and played his din and drum. So everyone hears the flute of Krishna in a different way. But the gopis heard a little bit of Krishna's flute. So this is amazing. This is amazing. And of course, Vidura was eager to know. He's eager to know. And he knew that he knew. Maitreya certainly was able to answer the questions as to what's the ultimate goal of life. He could certainly explain this very nicely. He was deeply realized and a very dedicated follower of the Vedas. Maitreya was deep and realized in his in applying himself to the injunctions of the Spirit, but he had not received that special form of mercy. So in this way, it is explained that actually transcendental knowledge, the real, the full depth of transcendental knowledge, remains hidden within the heart of the devotees, within the hearts of the pure devotees. It cannot just be found in the scripture. There is a statement about reading the Bible by the poet William Blake, and he said, "Both read the Bible day and night, but you read black and I read white." I read between the lines. I read between the lines. So ultimately, just by reading books alone, we cannot understand Krishna. Even by just reading the Vedas, we cannot understand Krishna. We need the mercy, because this movement is made of that. Here it is, Srila Prabhupada brought it all. And he brought it all. He brought that very deep, intimate spirit of the residents of Vrindavan. He was a resident of Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada brought that into this movement. And that was the driving force. His love for Krishna wasn't. And then, yes, backed up by philosophy. And then backed up by systematically explaining the philosophy. And the philosophy is important because it's great. Krishna consciousness is great when there is a wonderful festival. Right now, the excitement is in the air. And Bhakti Bhagaswami is doing miracles, right? Because he makes people do things. And he goes, I was just watching what's going on the stage before, and he was sort of going, let's do some Tai Chi movements. And everyone's okay. And Brendan Karch comes in and is sort of up there doing the movements, and then everyone else is trying to copy the movements. And, you know, and you see sort of the African world is made of rubber. The Indians, they have puppets, and the wooden dolls. That's going on. On the stage, that's what I was watching. And it was just. And all this, it was the Tai Chi movements. I'm going to be part of the play in the end, but as they're rehearsing, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're part of. Maharaj is just in the end, putting in all the pieces together, and suddenly there's a play. And just this in about 48 hours, and they're on the main stage. I mean, so it's really something to watch. So it's just amazing how these things are just going on a spontaneous platform. And Srila Prabhupada, people didn't know what he was doing. They had no idea what he was orchestrating. But somehow or other, Prabhupada just engaged people. I dig music. That old Swami plays a mean bongo. He got some good licks on that bongo. Pretty good, you know. There's something mystical from India, far out. And suddenly the whole park, all these musicians came out and they joined in a spontaneous kirtan and began the thing. And then come to the temple, there was more of it. What it was all about, nobody knew. And Prabhupada, just like Bhakti Maharaj is making his plays, you know, like where the actors don't know what they're doing. That's what Prabhupada did. And he came into the Western world. People didn't know what they were doing. And we still don't know what we're doing. We're sort of part of this movement. We don't know what we're doing. But Prabhupada has the whole thing mapped out. And we're part of it. And we come in and bring our hand luggage. And we bring our so many things. But the truth is, we don't know what we're doing, what we're part of. Only to an extent. Only to an extent. even after many, many years, only to an extent. How much can we understand? Vidura was so deep that he spent his life in devotional service that Vidura had realized this. What do I understand about Krishna? What do I really understand about Krishna? There is so much more. Although I'm giving my whole life in service to Krishna, what can I understand? That Vidura, he wanted, he was eager to meet Uddhava, eager to meet my Maitreya, eager to find out more, to go deeper into Krishna consciousness. And this is what we're discussing. This is the message of the Bhagavatam. And also the great Bhagavatam takes us to the transcendental, to the intimate pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So all this is a lead up to that. And in that way, we spend our days. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. To every day study the Bhagavatam. Ongoing service to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is part of our life. And Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And this Bhagavatam that will take us and anchor us deep in the transcendental vision. Without Bhagavatam, we are lost. Without Bhagavatam, we lose the motivation to chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is enough in itself, but we lose the motivation without the Bhagavatam. So in this way, Prabhupada arranged it. And that is why we have this whole thing every day discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. I thank you for listening to all this time. Any comments and questions? Is there a second?
As loud as you can, because this room echoes.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me, and I'm going to try to project. I think what struck out for me was Maharaj was talking about how everyone responded differently to the call of Krishna's flute.
Yeah.
And my question is, how does that, on the absolute platform, how is the unity? Because sometimes it can be, but I heard this, I mean, Rarani heard she's the one, because someone else heard something else. How does that, all of that come from it?
Yeah. So when Krishna plays his flute, then everyone responded to it differently, and everyone heard it differently. So she's asking, how is there unity? And that's like that's very, very nice. I like it. Prabhupada said, unity in diversity. So that is the amazing thing. It's unity in diversity. It's like we will always be different. We will always think different, always see different. We all sit in different places. That's this movement. You know? I have some pictures of Thai Buddhists, you know, and it's like, and there's a big initiation, and there's like sometimes 500,000 of them who take vows at the same time. Yeah? And they all stand in a formation. Yeah? It's like very exactly in spots and sisters, and they all are dressed exactly the same. That will never be the This is something we are. Because we are not in person in this room, we are person. So everyone has his own relationship. But it's the one thing that unifies us as Krishna. That's the one thing. You see, we can so easily be divided over differences because it's hard. It's natural that you connect with people who are like-minded. You know, my friends, they understand me. People who don't understand me, they are like, you know, a little more distant. If they're devotees, then I respect them. But they're not my close friends. Yeah. So close friends, yeah, we exchange the heart and we say, yes, I understand this, yes, this makes sense. So that will be there. There will be division. There will always be division between people. In the sense of being something
devotion to your heart to live on it. But when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I thought, now I will come to a movement that will be really wonderful because we will all be like-minded. That's what I thought. It will be like really a homecoming. We'll be all like-minded. But then what happened was that, you know, in my social circle before Krishna consciousness, there was this one character, one guy, and I really thought that he was a total case, you know, that guy. But he was a total case. And you know what happened? He opened the Hare Krishna movement. Yes. My God, what am I going to do now? You know? This guy also joined the Hare Krishna movement. The impossible character. A total impossible character. And then he also joined the Hare Krishna movement. That is really complicated. But anyway, somehow or other, he did a lot of service for Krishna. And also tried to do something. And actually, that brings us together. Although we are totally different, and we see things different. You know? When I think one thing, you know, we must do it this way, and he says, ah, this is terrible. And he says we must do it that way, and I think, oh my God, that's terrible. It's like this is our relationship. We have a different vision of what to do. But I can see he's sincere. He's giving his life to Prabhupada. So although he's so different from me, I can respect him for everything he's done for Prabhupada. And at one point, you know, we can stand next to each other and say, yes, we are together, right? Different as we are, because we're serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada serving Prabhupada means serving Krishna. That's the same. You know, your Prabhupada's totally transparent to the Krishna. So, in this way, we are united. Because we all hear truth differently. There's no doubt about it. No. But at least we all hear truth. And Krishna is blaming. There's lots of people out there who don't hear truth. You know? There's so much noise in the world.
Purity is the security.
On two levels, personally, then I think, okay, I'm not so pure. And then on another level, other people say, okay, you can say purity is your security, but then you still have to take like 10 years down the line. Yeah. You know, this sort of situation doesn't support you, and you're going to need a medical aid. And, you know, yeah. So where does the practicality come
from? I'm not saying you can't have that. We live in a world of ignorance, right? I was once, you know, having a problem with the tooth, and they were going to do a root canal, and then they put a root canal through the crown. And in the root canal, they put in some cotton with some chemical, and it has to stay there for a few days, and then it's supposed to take it out. They forgot to take it out. They closed the tooth 2.5 years later. I got the toothache of my life. They look at x-rays, they can't find anything. Finally they opened it up and they found cotton inside. With the chemical, and it rotted away not only the tooth, but a piece of part of my jaw as well was destroyed. So I had to go to some specialist, you know, so my dentist says, I'll send you to the specialist. I come to the specialist, my normal dentist is sort of a friendly guy. A gorilla, you know, this huge guy, a huge guy, and he goes, okay, sit down, chill, Krishna. And then I'm in the chair, and he goes, all right, you know, just take it out, you know, but it was all crumbled and had to chisel it out. You're sedated, but I hear all the noises, crunch, crunch, crack, crack, chisel, chisel. Oh my God, what's going on here?
And I was remembering one thing I had read or heard from Prabhupada in the lecture, where Prabhupada said that in Vedic times there was a herb, and you would just put that herb to the tooth that is like infected, and immediately, as soon as the herb touched the tooth, all the germs would leave. All the germs would leave. And I was thinking, damn, if only I using the word as well. I really thought that word. Damn, if only I would know. If only I would know the herb. Then, you know, crunch, crunch, crack, crack. I still have a huge hole, you know. People think I have this nice stomach and dimple. Well, it is a hole. So we're living in a world of ignorance. We don't know about the herbs anymore. We don't have them anymore. And even if there are herbs, we have fumigated them, gassed them, sprayed them with poison. They have no more power. Therefore, we have these horrible hospitals, right? Where you get tortured, right? Where you get just horrible things, horrible medicines, horrible treatments, but we have no other option because we don't know the herbs anymore. And therefore, we have this. And then, if you go to that hospital, okay, and you get a treatment, it costs, it starts with a few hundred thousand and can go into millions. And then if you have to go to all the devotees and say, oh, I'm a Krishna, I'm a security, you want my security. Could you all please fork up some cash? The Lord is going, God, if you have health insurance, right? So that's definitely... So because we live in this world, a nature of ignorance, all right, we accept some of those arrangements. But for Vidura, that wasn't necessary. Because for him, yes, it was his security. And I can tell you, you may think you're not so pure. That may or may not be a But the thing is, because we have dedicated ourselves in service to the pure cause, that really is not a good way. We may have some infringement. Just because all these years of preaching, you know, university and this and that, it's not good. So when it comes to the crunch, a lot of people stand by.